Well, you're welcome to be with us again this morning. It's good to see you. We've been busy in many areas over the last few weeks, but that's all right. We've been spending time with the Lord and getting prepared for our Christmas service and so forth. I want to talk to you about some things I think are important this morning, but I wonder how many of you remember I gave you a faith project last week. We gave you a faith project and asked you to pray about someone last week. And I wonder how many of you actually did. If you don't remember what it was about, you better get the CD and hear it up again, because it's important that we follow through on the things that we ask you to do. I want to talk to you today about getting your thinking sorted out straight, activating right thinking. It's important that we think right, because the way you think determines how you're going to live. I've got a couple of quotes I want to read to you this morning. Now, we don't build our life on people's quotes, but they all head toward the Word of God. Henry Ford said, "Thinking is the hardest work there is, which is probably the reason very few people do it." Interesting. Henry Ford said, "Thinking is the hardest work there is, which is the probable reason why very few people do it." People don't think. You know, they just fly off the handle and, you know, make decisions without thinking of them. John Wesley. You've heard of John Wesley. John Wesley says, "You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair." That is, if you have enough hair. Praise the Lord. I'm sure you've heard this quote too. I don't know who put this one out, but it says, "Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. And watch your character, it becomes your destiny." Interesting. So it all starts with how we think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we need to think right. We need to think properly. We need to activate our thinking and think the way the Word says we think. And if you get your thinking right, it's a bit like, I was trying to figure out, how could I explain this simply to you? And I saw on the TV a little kid, and he's playing with a train, you know, a little train that goes around. We used to have Hornby trains when I was a child. I don't know whether they're even still available or not. But, you know, the engine's on the front, and then the carriages are hooked on the back. And if you just send that engine around the track, all the carriages just follow. They just go wherever the engine goes. And if you think of the engine as the thought pattern, wherever the thought pattern goes, your life is just going to follow. You're just going to go the same way. So we need to think properly. We need to think. We need to think with the mind of Christ. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. If you watch when I was younger, when we were first married, I took Elizabeth to see some horror movies. She didn't like horror movies. So if you watch a scary movie, you probably get a little bit afraid. If you watch a sad movie, you probably shed a few tears. If you watch a comedy movie, you get happy and you start to laugh. See, so our thoughts are very, very important. What we feed into our thinking and what we do is so very, very important. We need to be careful what we listen to. Some people get into depression. The reason is why they think depressing thoughts. They start thinking about the bad things. What if this happens? What if that happens? As most of you know, I've already written a little book called How to Handle Depression. And in fact, there's some copies of it on the table. We've put them out there if you're interested in them. But we have to consider some of these things and get our life lined up with the Word of God. And if you can really just think about this, this is the thought that God gave me to bring this all together. You can see from what I'm saying this morning that what you think about can be a problem. But on the other hand, what you think about is also the answer. Are you following that line of thought? What you think about can be the problem, but then also what you think about can be the answer. That is, if you change what you think about. If you make a change in your thinking, you start coming into the answer and getting out of the problem. Because your thoughts will affect your emotions. And then your moods change. Things happen. This one doesn't like me. That one doesn't like me. So-and-so said such and such. So the way you think is going to determine the way you live. So we need to exercise and accentuate the Christ-like thinking. Because it's no longer I that live. It's not Christ that lives in me. In the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So you may be thinking, Norman, what is right thinking? Right thinking is righteousness thinking. It's thinking like righteousness thinks. Now let me read some scripture to you this morning. I think it's important we do that because everything we do should be based on the Word of God. And I've put a number of verses down this morning and I'm going to read them to you. In 1 Corinthians 2:16 it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ." Philippians 2:5 in the Passion Translation says, "And consider the example of Jesus, the Anointed One, he has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation." Consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us, and let his mindset become your motivation. Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Interesting when you start to read the scriptures. Let me read you one more. This is in the Message. Proverbs 17:22 in the Message. "A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired." That's interesting. Now, I was reading some things through as I prepared for this, and it's not always easy just to get up and give the sermon or make the speech, whatever you want to call it. But when you start to read the Word of God, you begin to see there are some things that Jesus said very specifically, and I think we need to keep some of those in mind. For example, in Matthew 12, in verse 34, he said this. He was speaking to the Pharisees on this occasion. He said, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Now listen to me. Words don't just suddenly pop out of your mouth. People say, "Oh, I just flew off the handle." No, it doesn't happen that way. Whatever you speak comes out of what you have allowed to be in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So whatever you have allowed into your heart is what is going to come out of your mouth. Your heart will be filled with things that you listen to, watch, hear other people say, and so on. Your heart gets filled with all of those things. I mentioned about films. If you watch sad films, you cry. Watch scary films, you show fear. If you watch comedy films, you start to laugh. So it all affects what. I was reading about a doctor, and his name is Dr. Avery Jackson. Now, I had never heard of him. He's not one that I would know of or we hear many quotes from. But he's a highly respected neurosurgeon in America, and he's a member of a Word of Faith church in America. He goes to Keith Butler's church, and this is what he said. He said that a recent Harvard study concluded that people who speak in tongues never engage their brains first. I'm going to say that again. People who speak in tongues never engage their brains first. The words that come out in tongues come straight out of the heart. Your tongue connects to your heart before it connects to your brain. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you feel the urge to shakabarobo sondoma kabariyandulava, it's coming out of your heart. It's not coming out of your brain. And we need to do that. We need to spend time praying in tongues. Elizabeth and I, we set several years ago, we haven't done it for a while now, but we set a time when we would spend at least a half an hour every night just praying in tongues. Just praying in tongues. not even looking for the interpretation, just praying in tongues, just worshiping God in tongues, just letting those tongues flow. And it's amazing how it builds you up, because it builds you up in your spirit, man. See, when pressure comes on you, what comes out of your mouth? When the pressure's on, what comes out of your mouth? I'll tell you, it's whatever you've allowed in. Whatever you've allowed into your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. If you're a doubter, you've sown doubt in your heart. If you're a pouter, you've sown pouting in your heart. Listen to me. If you swear, it's because you have sown curses in your heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So whatever you allow into your heart is going to come out of your mouth. That's why we need to speak in tongues. We need to speak the scripture. The words are the result of what you've allowed in. So fill your heart with the word of God. Fill your heart with the things of God, the good things of God. Now let me give you another scripture, because I've got a few of them written down here. Proverbs 12 and verse 5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Proverbs 12, 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the righteous are pleasant words. Jesus said in Luke 6 and 45, a good person produces good from the good treasure of his heart, and an evil person produces evil from the evil treasure, because the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. He talked about a good tree produces good fruit. A corrupt tree produces corrupt fruit. Whatever's on the inside is going to keep coming out. But the good news I can give you this morning is this, that your life can be changed by changing what you allow in and what comes out. We're justified and condemned by the words of our mouth. Listen to another one. Proverbs 16, 27 through 29 says this, idle hands are the devil's workshop. I'm sure when you're a child, your mother probably told you that. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idle lips are his mouthpiece. An evil man sows strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Wickedness loves company and leads others into sin. Old Testament. In the New Testament, it says 1 Timothy 5 and 13. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies saying things which they ought not to say. Scripture is very straight, isn't it? I mean, it's really telling us how we need to live our lives. And God doesn't want us to have an idle mind. God wants our thoughts to be productive thoughts. I looked up the word idle, and it means to be out of gear, blank, or wandering aimlessly. An idle mind means someone who's out of gear, blank, or wandering aimlessly. Here's another one for you. Romans 12, verse 2 in the Message Bible. Romans 12, 2 Message. I love this. So here's what I want you to do. This is Eugene Peterson. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before the Lord as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around about you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Develops well-formed maturity in you. See, if you renew your mind and think the way the Word thinks, then your whole nature, your whole life can be changed. it can be changed to become more and more and more like Jesus. Now let me give you another scripture. Philippians 4, verse 8. This is in the Passion Translation. He says, "So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always." Elizabeth was just saying to me before about when we praise God, we break the spirit of heaviness that comes on us. When you start to praise God, and as you're worshiping and praising God today, heaviness was being pushed backwards, and problems and difficulties, all those things are starting to go backwards. Here's something else I read about. And this, I find these things interesting. You know, some people are not into this, but I like these thoughts. And we've made a little bit of a study of some of these things. Brain plasticity. What about, there's a good word for you. Brain plasticity or neuroplasticity is the ability of the brain to change throughout your whole life, no matter how old you are. In other words, your age is unimportant. You can change. The way you think negatively literally leaves ruts in your brain, because negative thoughts and anxiety damage your brain. So we need to train our brain. This is what the results said, the report says. We need to train our brain, but only you control your thoughts. You need to determine what you're going to think about. Scripture, Colossians 3:2, the Passion. "Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm." It's so easy to get caught up in what's happening. Oh, we've got to watch the footy today. We've got to do this. We've got to do whatever. We get caught up in all the things of the world, but God says we need to spend time on heavenly things. You can replace every negative thought that comes into your thinking with a positive response by the Word of God. Let me read you another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, in the Message. Now, I'm deliberately using all these different translations. 2 Corinthians 10, 5, Message. "We use our powerful God-given tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of a life shaped by Christ." I'm going to read that again. I need to hear that. So are you listening? Okay, listen to this again. "We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of a God-shaped life, or a life shaped by Christ. See, the problem is, folks, we spend too much time thinking about yesterday, last week, last month, last year. He did, she did, they did. Who cares? You know, God isn't interested in your past. He's only interested in your future. He's got your future planned out. Jeremiah tells you, 29:11. "I know the future I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you hope and an expected end." So God's not interested in what you did. It's already under the blood. It's finished with. If you're a Christian, it's already been taken care of. You don't have to think about it anymore. God sees you, and you need to see yourself as God sees you. He sees you complete. "When He looks at me, He no longer sees me as I used to be." And Elizabeth says, "Amen." He sees me in Christ. Galatians 2:20, "It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me." So focus on your future. Do you know that God, you heard Naomi, when Naomi was ministering over here to Catherine, you know, that brought tears to my eyes. Because that is so true. Not just because it was Catherine, but the truth of what she was saying. God doesn't see you except in Jesus. He doesn't see your failings. He doesn't see all the, you know, the things you say and do, all that rotten, awful, bodacious stuff. He just loves you. But I said, okay, who cares? God doesn't. He's not standing over you with a 4x2. "I'm going to get you. Just say that word one more time." He's not. He loves you. He loves you. God loves you. You, as you are. He's not asking you to do anything. Just love him back. Let me read some more scriptures to you. I think these are just so good. Philippians 3:13, the Passion. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. Oh, that's good. Listen to that again. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. Psalm 139, verse 14 through 16 in the Message Bible. Oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking, body and soul. I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life are all prepared before I've ever lived one day. Philip, God is your life all planned. You just have to go with the plan. And it's easy. Just do what he says. Now, you may remember I mentioned earlier about an idle mind. You know, this idleness. Idle means to be unemployed, unoccupied, inactive, not wanting to work, lazy, ineffective, as a whole list of scriptures, powerless. And the scripture tells us that laziness puts you to sleep. And an idle person will suffer hunger, tells us in Proverbs 19. Laziness puts you to sleep. That's why, you know, when people don't want to work, they just want to sleep all the time. That's because they're lazy. So a sound mind is not an idle mind. A sound mind is a mind. Listen to the word sound here, or an English dictionary translation of sound. To be free from damage, free from injury, free from decay, to be firm, solid, substantial, and on a sound basis. We have a sound mind. We have the mind of Christ. So just refuse to worry. Refuse to allow your mind to wander. I mean, you're listening to my voice right now. But don't start thinking about, oh, what are we going to have for lunch today, or what are we going to do? Don't wander off into the nether regions. Begin to think according to the Word of God. Because, you see, I'll tell you something. When you allow your mind to wander, instead of allowing the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to take you through the Word of God, your mind will take you down dead-end streets. And dead-end streets are streets of anxiety, streets of worry, streets of depression, streets of oppression. It'll take you into all those dead-end streets. Don't allow that. Get your mind renewed and begin to think with a sound mind. Begin to think positive thoughts. Begin to think the Word of God. Stay out of these dead-end streets. Listen to Matthew 6 and 34 in the Message. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard thing comes up when the time comes. Did you get it? Matthew 6, 34 in the Message. Listen to it again. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come when the time comes. Thank you, Lord. So, can I say this to you? Being worried and concerned and depressed and in fear, all those things, they're not biblical. They're all just self-centered things. They're all looking inwards. And there are no exceptions to that verse that I just read to you. There are no exceptions. Jesus didn't say it's okay to worry if there's a war. He didn't say it's okay to worry when there's a recession or when you don't have enough money. He didn't say it's okay, you know, when things are going wrong. He said, don't worry. Full stop. As the Americans say, period. That's it. Just don't worry. Don't do it. Start thinking positively. Start thinking the Word of God. Don't worry. Don't get worked up about what might or might not happen. See, so sometimes we're so busy trying to, now if I do this, that'll happen. And if I do that, this, and we're trying to project into our future what, if we do certain things, these will fall. No, just do what God's telling you right now. Do the thing that He's telling you to do today. And let me try and bring this to a close for you. Our time's just almost gone. There's a scripture in Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 40 and 31. You will know the scripture because we've used it often. It says this, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." See, when you begin to activate right thinking, Christ-like thinking, you will motivate a very powerful biblical action to happen. For example, He says, "Wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, and you'll renew your strength." Just waiting on God. And what that really means is to be refreshed by revelation knowledge. Ephesians 1:18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." So just wait on God. If you go to a restaurant, the waiter or the waitress will wait on you. They'll tend to what you want. You say, "I'd like to eat such and such." And that. So it says, wait on God. What can I do to serve you, God? What do I need to do today? Second thing He says there is this, "They'll mount up with wings and run the race that is set before them." And what to me that says, that we're going to run over all the obstacles. We're not going to trip up. 1 John 5:4. "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." And the third thing I see in that verse in Isaiah is this, continue to walk in the light of the revelation that God gives you. And that's talking about perseverance. You can get through this if you persevere. Revelation 3:21 says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne." I don't know if you understand the ramification of what that verse says. That says Jesus is seated in the Father's throne and you're going to be seated in his throne. Some of you don't get that. You need to start and read some of these things and see who you really are. Start to think. Let me finish with this. James 1:12, Living Bible. James 1:12, Living Bible. "Happy is the man who doesn't give in and do wrong when he's tempted, for afterwards he will get his reward of the crown of life that God has promised for those who love him." Read it again. "Happy is the man who doesn't give in and do wrong when he's tempted, for afterwards he will receive his reward, the crown of life that God has promised to those that love him." So here's the question. Do you really want to change the way you feel? If you do, then you have to decide to change what you think about. If you want to change the way you feel and the way your life is going, start changing what you're thinking about. If you want God to guide you every day, start to get your attitude lined up with the book. Start to get your attitude lined up with the Word of God. I think if you can get hold of this message and rehash or regurgitate, that's the word I was looking for, chew over these scriptures that I've given you and some of the thoughts that I've put together. If you'll do that, I'm going to tell you this, you'll have a wonderful Christmas. Because your thinking will be different. And next Sunday is our Christmas service, and I've got a message about Christmas that's different. See, we look at the twinkle lights, and we see the trees, and you know, you can't get through the shopping center. So many people spending so much money to buy stuff that they don't want and nobody needs anyway. And not books, of course. It's very important to buy books, Philip. He's the bookshop manager. We appreciate you and we love you. And God loves you. I mean, Elizabeth and I and the others here, we love you very, very much. But you know what? We don't love you half as much as God does. He loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die for you. Praise the Lord. Can you get what I'm trying to talk? We need to activate this thinking. We need to change our thought patterns. Because remember the little train? That's the thought. And the carriage is the feeling. Wherever the little engine goes, the carriage is going to follow. So what are you thinking about today?